U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning there, State of Jefferson. We're on to another Sunday morning here. A cold, windy, wet, and wintry one. It's almost like I forgot what winter looks like. And we're here this morning again with Wynn Carpenter from Shasta County. Morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
Yep, the mouse is out and a little bit under the weather. She and the family have finally fallen victim to the crud this year. So we wish them all the best of wishes and speedy recovery and hope things get going on. But until then, you're stuck with Wynn and I.
Amen. Get better, Kayla.
Yeah, definitely. I'm loving it. The rain and the snow and, all my relatives and family around the valley have got snow everywhere and they're sending all these pictures and we're down here getting poured on, and I'm not complaining about the rain at all, but I'd like a little bit of the white stuff.
It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Love the liquid sunshine.
Yeah. But I am definitely, digging the weather. It's almost like California runs in drought cycles, and we're at the end of one, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to be.
We're just watering the lawn today.
I thought that was only allowed on Wednesdays and Fridays or something.
Oh, heavens. Well, I didn't turn the sprinklers on.
I never paid attention in the first place. So, but before we get too far into it, we want to remind everybody January 6th, Declaration Day, is coming up. And let everybody know there are still bus seats available. If you want to take the bus down there, it's probably the best, fastest, easiest way to travel. You don't have to worry about the drive down, the drive back. You don't have to fight the parking.
Yep.
You don't have to do any of that. They dump you right off at the West Lawn. You're there for the event. You get back on the bus. You get to go home. You get to associate with a bunch of people in a free, open environment. It's really, really easy. And they still have 19 seats left for the Rennie Anderson bus and 22 seats for the Red Bluff Corning Williams bus. Now, if you want to get yourself squared away on one of those buses, you need to contact Patty Smith at 530-833-0265 or email her at smipatty@gmail.com. That's smipatty, all one word, @gmail.com, and she'll get you squared away. And for the price of a bus ticket is less than what you pay in gas to go down.
Yeah.
So it's a real great way to go.
I know when they went before on the bus, they had a blast.
I know.
Well, a lot of the same people are on the bus again. They're saying how much fun they had, so it was a good thing.
I know. I keep hearing, how the state of Jefferson's just a bunch of angry people and stuff. We have the best time ever.
We do.
I mean, there's jokes everywhere. There's people in good spirits and good mood. It's a fun crowd to be around.
Yeah.
It's a weird definition of angry, I guess.
We're not angry. We're just doing something about it.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of doing something about it, I want to give a shout-out to Butte County today, who is out there in the rain collecting signatures, and were yesterday. And the teams that came in from other counties and brought other people in to help and get Butte County on pace to go in for a declaration of the people.
Yep. Yeah, we went down yesterday. It was wonderful. We were down there at the mall and had flag people and walking on the streets and sidewalks, actually, and getting people to come in onto the parking lot, and it was wonderful. We met some really good people down there. They're interested. They want it to happen, and they were signing right up, and they're taking pages to go get other people to sign up. So it was a good thing, and they're developing their core there.
Good.
And the leadership down there is taking the bull by the horns and getting it going.
Absolutely.
They've had some challenges in the past, but they're going to get beyond those, and it was great. It was so cold down there. A couple of the folks that went down with me yesterday from Shasta, Margie, Jerry, and Doyle, we went down there and got to stand around and shiver for a bit. It was pretty fun, but it was good. They were good sports about it. It was great.
Yeah, it's Butte County, we have met some very serious political opposition in the home of our congressman.
Yes.
It's not really been an opposition to the people. It's been an opposition of the political power structure there, absolutely.
That's right, absolutely. The people want it.
They do. And, there's some of the Board of Supervisor members there that have been very supportive of it, and other ones that have been just dead set, deadlocked against it, mm-hmm. For several different reasons. The one that probably stuck with me the most, that disgusted me the most, was, well, I also have a ranch up in Modoc County, and I have a cattle truck that has to travel that road. If you have the state of Jefferson, we're going to see economic growth, and why should my cattle truck have to share the road with another cattle truck? And if you don't believe that he said that, I mean, you can go back to the date of the Board of Supervisors when Lambert said that. It was Supervisor Lambert of Butte County, and he flat said that to the public. I don't want the state of Jefferson because it'd be good for the people, and I don't want my truck to have to share the road with somebody else.
That's the whole reason, huh?
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. But, definitely a shout-out to those people and the people that have gone there and helped to get them on pace and get going to fix the donut hole.
Yep.
Because Butte County is officially Custer now. Shasta County was part of the Custer and has since fallen to the Indians.
Yep. Well, we also had some people come up from Placer, and it was good to have them mm-hmm. come up and help out, too. So that was good. You have multiple counties helping each county out.
Fantastic.
That's what it's all about. They get it. Everybody gets it, so we're just trying to help each other out.
And everybody pitching in to help their brothers and sisters in the next county.
Yep.
We're going to need some of that. There's a couple places we're going to be revisiting before all of this is said and done.
Yep.
There's prep in the way in the works for that, some of the things that are going on. But today, I really wanted to hit on this concept of jurisdiction. It seems to be one of the biggest Jefferson concepts that people just they have issue with. They can't get it through. It's like trying to tell them the sky is blue, and they want to argue with you. No. It's not. I don't know. Especially when we discuss about they say, oh, well, the federal government owns most of the lands in what would be the state of Jefferson. And we tell them, no, they don't.
No, they don't own them.
They don't own them. They don't anything them.
No.
And, it's you start going back and forth, and all of a sudden these people just turn into Helen Keller on you. they're blind and they're deaf. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. You show them the evidence of it, and they just, no.
Yep.
So I really want to hit on jurisdiction today and really, really help people understand that fundamental concept of what we're doing, because it is a huge part of what Jefferson is about, and what we're doing is state sovereignty and jurisdiction. And wanted to play a quick clip of Mark Baird to kind of get the ball rolling on that, and we'll come back and discuss some things. And but after this clip, we'll go ahead and go to our break, and let you stew on what he has to say here for a minute, and then we'll come back and get going on jurisdiction.
2-hour jurisdiction, and what I want to talk about before I talk about how we go forward are those four principles. The first of those principles is jurisdiction. How can we get away with what we're doing? What gives us the legal right, the moral imperative to do what we're doing in trying to form the 51st state? The second thing is sovereignty. If we create the state of Jefferson, we also create sovereignty. And by the way, I can prove every single thing I'm telling you with a legal principle, a legal document that I have right in front of me or in my bag, or I can pull up on my computer. None of these things are my opinion. They're the opinion of people far smarter than I am who did much greater things than I'll ever do. So with that sovereignty, We can conduct our lives the way we, the people, see fit. That's what sovereignty guarantees us. And we are guaranteed sovereignty as the state of Jefferson. In fact, we're guaranteed sovereignty as the state of California. But a liberty unexercised is a liberty lost. And that's where we've come to disaster in the state of California. We have a tremendous amount of power. We have a tremendous amount of liberty. And we haven't exercised any of it for a very long time. And so those liberties have been lost to us in a sense. But I don't want to sound like Eeyore the donkey. I'm not here to tell you how bad things are. I'm here to tell you how good things are, because of these principles, we can fix every single bit of this, and we can do it in a span of time that a lot of us gray hairs will be around to see. I mean, we can fix this. It is within our power, and I'll explain why in a minute. Once we have gained sovereignty, we can use the principle of interposition. Interposition is a very powerful concept, and it is what William Blackstone, in Blackstone's Commentary on Law, called the old doctrine where states can nullify activity by the federal government that is unconstitutional or extra-constitutional. William Blackstone was an interesting guy. His commentaries on law, part 1 and 2, were the primary textbooks in every law school in the United States of America until around 1928, which was just 10 or 15, 20 years into the progressive era, at which point they were eliminated because Woodrow Wilson believed that we should have a governing elite because ordinary people like us are too stupid to know how to conduct our lives, and we're too stupid to understand liberty and how we should act. So there should be a governing elite, and they will be in a position to tell everybody else what to do, and then you'll do it because you're too dumb to know what to do yourself. And that's what Woodrow Wilson believed, and that's what he put into practice, and that's why Blackstone's Commentary on Law was removed from all law schools in the United States, and it's no longer taught. In fact, the Constitution is barely taught in law schools now. So with that interposition, we can use nullification. And that nullification is very important because states have sovereignty. We have absolute sovereignty, and I'll prove that to you in a minute. Even California has that, and I'll show you how. And with that nullification, we can guarantee our inalienable rights.
So there, with that, there is, what Mark Baird is explaining. He's laying out just the fundamental bare bones of what we can do in the state of Jefferson. And we really kind of want to spend the rest of the show qualifying some of the things that he's discussing and bringing out the evidence of that and getting people to understand the fundamentals. And we'll start doing that right here after this break. So if you have questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, and we'll see you on the other side.
Turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Santa Claus has landed at View 202. On Sunday, December 13th, join Santa and his elf for brunch on the veranda. Enjoy bottomless mimosas, beautiful music by Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble, the sensational sounds of Shasta High School's musical choir. Bring a toy to donate to Toys for Tots and have your picture taken with Santa. Don't miss out on this magical Christmas experience. December 13th from 11 to 1:30 at View 202.
Join the City of Reading as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofreading.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on up,
moving on
to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up,
to
the east side, we finally got a piece of the a beef don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill.
It's funny how well that song fits, isn't it?
Yeah, wasn't their last name Jefferson?
Yeah, the Jefferson. We love it. So, all right, so getting back into our conversation, jurisdiction, and exactly what is jurisdiction and why is it so vital to understand? You know, one of the fundamental things that we suffer under up here in the Jefferson counties is a damaged economy, a lack of an economy, the ability to prosper. And a lot of that is because up here we are an agrarian, resource-driven society.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost our access to process and manufacture those resources in a successful manner to see economic abundance that we once used to have.
Right.
We know that we're capable of economic independence and abundance.
Yeah.
Because we've, you know, guys like you and I, we've seen it. We remember it. You know, for my kids, they think it's always been this way up here.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been the Walking Dead zombie apocalypse from the tweakers and the homeless, and that the schools are run down and social services are broken, and you can't see the lines on the road in the rainstorm because the city can't afford to paint them. And you know, they've grown up in this concept of this is normal,
right?
Whereas guys like you and I, it's we know better,
right?
You know, I remember going to school in a California distinguished school. I remember traveling to other schools for basketball games and things like that. Northern California schools had the newest, finest, up-to-date equipment. They had new textbooks. They had new computers when those were started to come in. You know, the gym needed a new floor. It was just done because there was money. There was abundance here, and a lot of that was off the back of timber revenues and payments in lieu of taxes and things like that. And it was because we the people of what we consider the Jefferson counties were able to exercise and use our public lands for greater public good.
Right.
That, in the last 20 years especially, has been shut off. It's been actually going on almost 25 to 30 years now. It's we've been crippled because of these things. And a lot of people say, well, when you get the state of Jefferson, that's all well and good, but you're not going to be able to restore that because it's the federal government that's crippled you.
Wrong.
Thank you. That is so wrong. And how is the federal government going to stop us from using those resources? And the typical answer that everybody gives, and it drives me insane, is, well, they own the land.
Wrong.
No, they don't. They never have. They never...
Never will.
They never will. And that's where this very vital understanding of jurisdiction comes in. Mm-hmm. When it comes to land ownership, the federal government has very small jurisdiction over anything in these United States. Because you really do have to go back to the beginning of the whole concept and everything that was set up, is when the colonies broke away, when they finally decided to no longer comply, okay? And that's essentially how the United States came to be, is the people, after continuous redress of grievances with their governments, found no satisfaction, they ceased to comply. Right. They cease to recognize those governments as valid. They cease to follow their orders, and they turn to each other, and they form their own government. They form their own institutions among men to dictate their way of life, because they were being run over and ignored and enslaved. There was discussion about the overwhelming conspiracy to enslave the American. Does that sound familiar? Weird how we've come full circle.
Yeah.
But that's that vital understanding of jurisdiction, okay? So you have the 13 colonies, and when they entered into the original agreement, which was the Articles of Confederation, they all entered with their own legislative system, their own court system, their own mandate and dictates, and they all entered as sovereign dominions, as sovereign entities. They were all individual entities that had their own power within their own jurisdiction,
right,
which is their own boundaries and borders of what went on within their individual colonies. They had their own governor, and they were coming together in an alliance for mutual commerce and protection and defense.
Right.
But they never lost that concept of individualities and the sovereignties of their individual colonies. And if that had ever been threatened, the whole thing probably would have fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you have these sovereign entities that are cooperating with each other under the Articles of Confederation, and they figure out, we don't want the federal government, the overriding federal government, to have power over anything. They so limited the federal powers, there was no way to adjudicate problems in between the colonies. There was no way to find mutual defense. They had an issue during one of the Continental Congresses, is there was deserters and mutineers from the Continental Army that actually showed up in Philadelphia to protest the Constitutional Convention and the way that the war was being fought, and the Congress had to flee to New Jersey because of the argument, well, does the federal government get rid of the protesters? Does the city of Philadelphia get rid of the protesters? Or does the state of Pennsylvania have to deal with it? They had so limited the federal government that there was no, okay, who's in charge here?
Right.
So when we get to the Constitution, they ceded specifically, and let me look it up. I want to say it's Article 8, but I want to be sure, so give me 2 seconds here. But essentially what they did is they ceded a part of land to the exclusive jurisdiction of the federal government as the capital. And what that was 10 square miles around the Capitol. That was the responsibility and within the purview of the jurisdiction, again, of the federal government, because they saw that, okay, if we have a capital, but it exists within the bounds of some other state, and we leave that state the sole exclusion and protection of the capital, well, then that state has a lot of greater power than the other states, because the capital and the federal government is beholden to that state for their own protection and services. That's why we created the concept of a federal reserve, okay? And that's not the monetary system that we're talking about. We're talking about a federal reserve where the federal government has the preeminent jurisdiction, okay? And it was very clearly extended to the capital, the 10 miles around the capital, and any land ceded by the state legislature of any state to the federal government for the purpose of a boat dock or a magazine or an armory, something that was mutually beneficial to all of the states. But the jurisdiction never extended past that. It never extended beyond longer than what the state deemed necessary. And it was only with the permission of the state and the state legislatures that that was allowed to exist, that that reserve was allowed to exist. Okay.
And that still stands for today.
That still stands for today. There's a couple of differences because they enacted the Federal Monuments Act, mm-hmm. you know, where there's national parks and national monuments and things like that. Those are considered federal reserves that are within the purview and jurisdiction of the federal government. That's why you see this current administration throwing everything they can under the Federal Monuments Act. That's how they just seized the San Gabriel Mountains down in Los Angeles and the Snow Mountain Berryessa Reserve up here. That's now a federal reserve. Hmm. When you make the argument, oh, well, you can't use those lands because they're federal lands, that's true now in those areas. And that's why we have to be so resistant to that federal overreach.
So when they want to do Castle Crags and...
No. No, you can't have Castle Crags.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what they're looking to do, right?
They are looking to do Castle Crags. And interestingly enough, if you look at all these new federal reserves, they're seizing the headwaters of our reservoirs.
That's what I can say, the headwaters of Sacramento River.
Exactly. So understanding that jurisdiction, that outside of those very few purviews, the federal government has no jurisdiction except is granted by permission of the state. Okay, our Shasta Trinity National Forests here, for example,
mm-hmm.
they're not national forests. They're California forests that are managed under contract with the state of California. Now, the argument that the government tries to use is, well, these were federal lands before the state of California existed. Therefore, they remained federal lands when California was incorporated, which is complete and total BS, because under the Equal Footing Clause, whenever a new state enters the Union, we get to enter on an equal footing as the original 13 colonies, and the original 13 colonies were sovereign to every piece of the domain within their boundaries, including the waterways and the soils underneath of it. We own all of it. We only have to simply exercise it.
And the 13 colonies didn't have any federal lands.
No.
Enter under that purview, then
we have no federal lands. And the court has gone even further to explain, because back when a lot of the base closures and things like that were going on during the 90s, yeah. a lot of the states said, okay, well, the base is no longer there. That land reverts to us. And the federal government said, no, it doesn't. That's our land. And the state said, no, you were ceded that land for a very specific purpose. You are no longer using that land for that purpose. Therefore, receivership returns to the state. And they went to court over that, and guess who won? The state. It's their land. Right. You know, and there's some other things that are going on that we'll discuss, too. But before we do that, I want to get into one more clip of Mark Baird and understanding jurisdiction. And the reason that jurisdiction exists is because we, the people, decide that's how it works. Not the federal government, not even the state government or anybody else, but we decide that. And the other thing to understand is, and that the court upholds, is the federal government never, ever granted the individual colonies or states the right of sovereignty. It existed before the federal government. The states created the federal government and were sovereign before the federal government ever existed. It is not a privilege or a right that is precluded to the states by the government. It exists in spite of the government.
There you go.
So with that, I want to listen to Mark Baird explain all just power of the is derived from the people, and then we'll head off to a break.
So the guys got together again in Philadelphia for a constitutional convention. And by the way, they were breaking the law. Because one of the Articles of Confederation says nobody can change these articles unless the states agree. So here these guys showed up and they said, the first thing they said was, we want to throw the whole thing out and start over and write a constitution. Several delegates left. New York, most notably, they said, we don't have the power to do that. We don't have the blessing of our state. We came down here to talk about fishing in the Delaware River and a couple other things. And they left. But the rest of them stayed. And how did they get away with that? What gave them the original jurisdiction in order to scrap a form of government that was well established over 10 years, had political power, had the rule of law, had the weight of law, had legal precedent? All just power is inherent in the people. Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. All just power, all just political power is inherent in the people. Government is established for their good. And they have the right to alter or reform that government anytime the public good demands it. You don't have the permission to change government with your vote or to campaign or get a petition or sign an initiative. You have the right to alter government anytime it fails to serve you. Why do we have the right to form a state of Jefferson? Because all just political power is inherent in the people, and whenever government doesn't work, we have the right to alter that government anytime we see fit. And the federal constitution has much the same verbiage. All power is inherent in the people. When government is destructive to their ends, they have the right to alter or abolish it. Why did they have to put that in? Because they just abolished the Articles of Confederation. They needed just a little justification here. So in the Constitution of the United States, they gave everybody that power, and they gave it to us forever. Why did we form the government of the United States? Who cares? Who are we afraid of? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, promote domestic tranquility, so on and so forth, and to secure liberty for our posterity. That's the only reason we have government, is to secure liberty. Not to build a train, not to get Medicare, not to get Medicaid, not to give people stuff for nothing, not to take stuff away from people. All of those things come in time and with the changes that people decide to make for their own benefit. I'm not making a comment on those. But our purpose for being here is liberty. And without liberty, I'm going to tell you something, because I have been all over the world, literally. I've flown to every country that has an airport longer than 5,000 feet and a couple of airports that didn't even have runways, like plank steel stuff in Somalia and southern Sudan and the Democratic People's Republic of Congo. And I am here to tell you another truth. Without liberty, none of the rest matters. Because without liberty, you're not going to be allowed to keep the money. Without liberty, you're not going to be allowed to defend yourself. Without liberty, you're not going to be able to keep your property. And even if you do get to keep your property, you're not going to be able to use that property to make a living for yourself and your family. And in fact, Benjamin Franklin said, if property isn't secure, liberty cannot exist. Because you have to be able to count on the things you own to make a living for yourself and your family. You have to be able to use those things. Do you have that power in California? No. You don't even have the power to say how many bullets you put in your gun. You don't have the power to say what kind of gasoline you want to have. You're lucky you have the power to put mustard on a hot dog. And that's probably in the legislature right now. Or a water well. Or use the water well. Or in my case, use irrigation water that's been attached to the deed of my land for over 150 years since before the state of California even existed. I'm getting sued right now because we went and turned our water on. And Fish and Game said, no, fish are more important than the people the water serves. So they're going to sue us, and the fines are totaling more than $154,000 for turning on our water once. Oh, and by the way, it's supposedly a misdemeanor. Well, when I read California law, and remember, I'm a cop, so I read the law, misdemeanors, the maximum fine is $1,000. So how is it the state of California can charge someone $154,000 for a misdemeanor when the top fine in a misdemeanor is $1,000? No liberty, that's why.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up right there, doesn't it?
It does. You know,
is the power does derive from the people. And if the power doesn't derive from the people, and you allow it to derive from the government, no liberty will be derived.
That's right.
Because the government is not about liberty.
No.
It's
that comes from the people.
And has to.
Has to. Each and every one of us.
And it is recognized all throughout law and American law and precedents, the sovereignty of the state and the individual, and the incorporating document of that ideal was the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
As far as self-governance go, the Declaration of Independence was what the Big Bang was to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden it existed. It was instantaneous and infinite that we are to be a self-governing people.
Yeah.
And we've got some people asking some questions in the chat room, but we definitely got to get off to a break, and we'll address those when we come back.
They're whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand. Self-respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, 'cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the valley and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net. And donate now to show your support.
Who doesn't love Dickens' classic story, A Christmas Carol? Christmas isn't the same without its fascinating tale of spirits, adventure, greed, and of course, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Join us this holiday season for the Reading Civic Repertory's magical debut of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
Fabiano Altamura's new adaptation will have it all, from gorgeous sets to spooky spirits and music that will have you dancing the humbug.
Will Ebenezer Scrooge get what he deserves, or will the miser choose a different path? Come and find out on December 19th and 20th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get tickets at the Reading Civic Auditorium's box office. Call 229-0022 or at readingcivic.com.
Brought to you by Meeks Lumber, Zimmer Construction, Hudson Entertainment, and Hilltop Medical Clinic. Don't miss this Christmas spectacular. Christmas Carol, A Love Story. December 19th and 20th, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
because I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, we had somebody call in here a little bit ago and asking for us to repeat the phone number and email for Patty and the bus. When you got that info up?
I do. Her phone number, again, is 530-833-0265. And her email is smipatty@gmail.com. And that's Patty Smith.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Patty.
And with that, I wanted to address a couple of the questions and comments in the chat room real quick. We've got a commenter asking, well, how does the state of Jefferson fix anything? We're going to have the same elected officials that pander to the federal government and accept the grants and all of that that we have now. And let me qualify this first in the politest terms I know possible. That if we go through everything that is going to be required to get the state of Jefferson a new, free, and sovereign state with a clean slate and a clean start, if we elect the same pack of damn lying fools that we have now, we are the biggest idiots to ever exist in the entirety of humankind.
Amen.
Why would we reelect the same stooges that we have now?
Right.
I can't even conceive of that. And maybe there's some concept of then, well, when we become the state of Jefferson, we naturally just have the same government that we have now to begin with. Well, we can't. Those are California officials.
That's right.
That would be a conflict of interest. You can't be a Jefferson representative and a California representative at the same time.
Nope.
Can you? I mean,
I would think not.
You know, you can't be a California senator and the Jefferson senator during the transition. No, you'll be the senator across the table representing the state of California until we no longer are California, and there will be a Jefferson representative that will be representing Jefferson until such time we are Jefferson, and will continue to do so if so chosen by the people. If you want to be a representative of the state of Jefferson, you can resign your California position.
Mm-hmm.
And then run just like anybody else for a position in Jefferson. But because you're in office now doesn't mean you become the same thing. You don't get to parallel over as a politician into the state of Jefferson. That's not how it's
going
to work.
Especially since the whole foundation of what's going to be going on in Jefferson is going to change drastically. And for the better, I might add, we're going to have representation in every single county, which we clearly do not currently have.
Absolutely. We're going to have expanded representation, and the people that are representing us now will legally be incapable of representing us as Jefferson because they're duly elected California officials.
Correct.
We will be a new entity.
That's right. They took an oath to California.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't taken an oath to Jefferson.
They can't represent Jefferson.
That's right.
So if they want to resign their position and run for the state of Jefferson, that's all well and good. But one of the beautiful things that the state of Jefferson has done is it has drawn everybody out. We know who the good guys are.
We do.
We know who the bad guys are. And if you think you get to be one of the bad guys and resign your position in California and come run in Jefferson, you can try.
You can try.
Yeah. Good luck. So, I'm not worried about us ending up with the same government. And not only that, we have the hindsight of 250 years of the booby traps and the different things that politicians and legislators will try to usurp the power of the Constitution. We have all of that hindsight, and we can construct a Constitution in a form that won't allow it.
That's right.
You know, we don't intend to have legislators that work full-time, nor are capable of thinking for themselves. We don't want legislators that think for themselves. We want legislators that go forth and do the will of the people.
That's right.
And we can constitute that. And that's the root word of constitution, to be constituted, to be brought together by choice.
Yes.
So I hope that answers some of your questions. If you have any more, go ahead and post them in there.
And another thing, too, when people do decide to run for offices in Jefferson, it's not going to be done by the big funded corporate entities, if you will. if you want to pay, I'm just throwing a number out. If you want to pay $1,000 to get a campaign going, go for it.
Yeah.
That makes it more affordable, or truly affordable, for anybody to do it. It can be a teacher, a single parent teacher mm-hmm. who can afford to run for something, or you know whatever. Somebody working in a job that just doesn't pay, they can rally up $1,000 to run for political office and put their service and time in to represent Jefferson. And that's what we want.
Absolutely. And because that's the entirety of the argument about expanding the representation. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Baird very effectively uses the New Hampshire model, where representatives got to represent 3,000 people.
Right.
They know him.
They know him.
They know where he lives.
They tap on his shoulder and say, hey, dude, this isn't right.
You know, and they don't have the massive campaign contributions and things there. Because they're not necessary.
Right.
But then you go to the state of California where a state senator's got to reach 1 million people.
Yeah.
The only way that you can do that is through mass marketing.
Yep.
And that takes money.
Yep.
Lots of money.
Yep.
And he'll still never be representing you. So who's he going to represent? The people that give him all the money.
Yep.
That's why it is so critical that we have to expand the representation. And upon expansion, the California legislature is going to be a circus, worse than it is now. That's why the separation is so vital. That's, you know, Jefferson himself even thought one day the West might be a separate yet equal republic with the United States because of the sheer enormity of the size of it.
Right.
They understood small states work good, big states work bad.
Proof.
Yeah.
They got proof.
They knew it.
Yeah, especially when California is 400 times worse than the next state, which is Texas, as far as representation.
Yeah.
You just have to look at the numbers, pull it up, look at the numbers at the census numbers. You can eyeball it. Vermont and New Hampshire are the best.
Yeah.
They've got it down there where it's manageable and they know their people. Whereas in California, who does any one of our representatives know?
Yeah. Literally, these guys probably grew up with and went to school with the representative.
Absolutely.
Know him on a personal basis. Know his business.
Yep.
You know who he or she is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes representative government so brilliant and so workable, is you know the people.
Yep.
And that's what we have to fix. And we can ensure certain things like that in our Constitution. One of our commenters brought up the good point that a lot of the reason that the state of California refuses to exercise its sovereignty is because the federal government bribes them not to.
Yeah. Pay off.
Yeah. Well, we can legislate that right into our Constitution. You shall accept no federal monies if they are attached to some kind of program or sovereignty that you have to surrender. We won't take the money. We'll refuse. And again, whose money is the federal government bribing you with? Yours.
Your
it's
money.
Your money. They're bribing you with your own money. So we can take care of things like that.
And we can also make it illegal so that way if they do it, guess what? It's not just a hand slap. It's time served.
Absolutely. And any federal operations that we wish to allow within our state, The court on numerous occasions, I could quote you a small library's worth of precedents of court cases. Not only do we get to decide how and when the federal government operates within the sovereign state, but in what manner and for how long. That's why a sheriff like Sheriff DiAgostino down in El Dorado County can tell the federal government, you won't write so much as a parking ticket in my county mm-hmm. without permission. Sovereignty.
Yep, and he did it. He's done it, and his people are behind him. He was voted in by 98% of the populace of that county.
I know.
Hello.
Yeah, they get it.
Even the boards of supervisors who were voted in collectively did not come up that high. So he's got more power than they do.
Well, and that's, you know, your sheriff, if you look at the law of the land, is one of your primary constitutional officers.
Yes.
That has a lot of authority. That's why it's so vital, the sheriff that you have.
Is constitutional.
If and
they're
you,
not,
you really
they need to go away.
Pay attention to that.
Yep.
You know, and just because they slap the label on their chest, constitutional sheriff, doesn't mean that they are. Make them prove it.
Words are cheap. Actions prove it.
So, but, yeah, as far as exercising jurisdiction for the state of Jefferson to be able to use our public lands and public resources and restore our economy, yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
I am really frustrated and tired of listening to people say, oh, we can't, the federal government owns the land, this, and they own it. No, they don't. They don't own anything. They don't even get a say-so that we don't allow them to have. And if you think about it, it's because we get to come in on the same footing mm-hmm. as the original 13 colonies. The original 13 colonies weren't about to surrender their sovereignty to anybody.
Nobody. They just fought the wars.
Yeah, they were in a fight over that exact question. They weren't about to do it. And to put it in modern terms, would you go down to a car dealership and say, hey, I want to buy that pickup?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, hey, cool, we're going to let you have that pickup, but we own the tires and the transmission.
Yeah, no.
No. I think I'll go find another car dealer.
There you go.
And, I mean, it's exceptionally like that. That's the basic premise that people are operating on. And at the end of the day, I think the one that bugs me the most is the fundamental failure to understand the jurisdiction of we the people. Okay? Even if the Constitution granted the federal government jurisdiction over our national forests, do we not have the power inherent in we the people to alter that if we so choose?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
That's the fundamental failing of grasping what's going on that bugs me, is even where the law doesn't work the way that it needs to, we have the right and the power to alter it.
Well, it's playing a game and knowing what the rules are. We've been playing this game far too long without even having a clue what the rules are. And none of us would go into a sporting event without knowing what the rules are so we could use every one of those rules to our benefit.
Absolutely.
And so that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
We have to learn the rules, know the rules, use the rules to our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, then we're going to continue down the same road that we are currently playing in California.
Absolutely. And that's one of the arguments I've heard is, well, if that's true, why didn't the Board of Supervisors or why doesn't such and such do something about it?
They don't know the rules.
Because they don't know the rules themselves.
They haven't bothered to learn them, and they like the little ferry boat ride that they're on.
How many of our elected officials could pass an 8th grade constitution test? I'm dead serious. I would love to sit down our elected representatives and see how many of them come out of there with a passing grade on a constitution test.
I'd say very few, if any.
I can think of two off my hand that I would trust to pass that test out of all of the elected officials that, you know, we've run into over the last couple of years and mm-hmm. met. I can think of two that I'm certain would pass, and okay. That's it.
Wow.
I'm not sure the other ones could spell Constitution.
Unless they have their morning Constitution.
You know, and at the end of the day, that is the fundamental question that is being put before us.
Yeah.
You set aside jurisdiction, juxtaposition, jury nullification, legislative representation, all of these concepts. At the end of the day, what the question has really come down to is, are we following the government as decided by the government, or are we following the Constitution? That's the two sides of this fight.
I would follow the Constitution 100% because it's written and it's been there for how many years. It's something you can sink your teeth into and mm-hmm. you use the Daniel Webster Dictionary to follow the Constitution the way it was written.
It's very clear.
Very clear.
It's
simple. It's not interpretive. It's how it was written.
It's well thought out.
Yep.
They took their time with it. They knew that they were designing this for their posterity. They understood the importance, and it took them almost 40 years to get it to a form of where they were, okay, 4 decades of thought and trial and error, and it is a great guiding light. But you set aside all of the bickering, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican or if it's socialist or if it's capitalist, you set aside all of those arguments and you distill this down to what is going on in this country, and the fight is becoming, and you're going to have to choose a side. I think the window of just fence sitting is rapidly running out. Are you a constitutional supporter, or are you a supporter of government as dictated by the government because they give you free stuff that belongs to you?
And you're on your knees when you accept it.
Exactly.
And shackled.
Yeah. That's the question. Which is it going to be? Mm-hmm. So I think we'll continue to hit on this concept of jurisdiction because there's still so much more to go into. But our hour is up. Stick with us. We got Sovereign Minds coming up. We got a great program coming on. We got a gal from the state of Jefferson that went to school and ran into some flack there and managed to come out with some signatures. She'll be on with us in a little bit and some other fantastic things that are going on. So we'll see you on the flip side, and thanks for being here, Wynn.
Well, thank you.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Paris is marking 1 month since the terror attacks that killed 130 people and wounded hundreds. Mourners have been laying flowers and candles today in front of the concert hall where 89 people were killed. People have also gathered at the Palais de la République, the square that's become a gathering place for mourners since the November 13th attacks. Congressional leaders are busy this weekend putting the finishing touches on a year-end spending package. It has to be passed by Wednesday, well, the government shuts down.
House leaders are hoping to publish the proposal on Monday, setting up a final vote for Wednesday. The fate of the measure hinges on dozens of policy riders, including a Democrat push to end the decades-old ban on government funding of research into gun violence.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Divers have ended their search today of a California lake for a computer hard drive and anything else linked to the husband and wife shooters who killed 14 in a...